Okay. All right. Good evening, everybody. How was your day? Hallelujah. Okay. Quickly, without wasting much of our time. We started a discussion on Sunday. Am I right? And I believe it was what we had on Sunday, what we studied on Sunday, I believe is fundamental to our growth as believers. Am I right? The key to growth really is understanding who you are. I mean, there is really no way we can lay hold of that which we have. We don't really know who we are and what is ours. And really, you might know what is yours. You might know what is in store, but you might not know it's yours if you don't know who you are. So it's important that we understand that we have, first and foremost, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And beyond that, we understand our righteousness. So last Sunday, we started on the note of defining righteousness. And we say righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of what? A sense of fear, guilt, condemnation, impurity complex, or without any consciousness of sin. And we're also able to establish that the mindset of a righteous man or a believer is that I do not think it's a robbery to be equal to God, to be equal with God. I do not see it as something so far-fetched. I don't see it as something so big to be equal with God. And that's the idea of righteousness. Righteousness is saying, irrespective of where I'm coming from, whatever I've been through, because I've come to Jesus, because I've accepted the sacrifice of the Son on the cross, because I believe in that reality, I am as righteous as God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we're able to understand Romans 5:17 says that if death reigned through one man, if sin came and reigned through one man, he said, how much more are we going to reign in life by righteousness? Of course, through one, Jesus Christ. So, having described what righteousness was, we're able to also understand the basis for our righteousness. And we said that the righteousness that we have, the basis for which we have that righteousness, what is the coming of Jesus, is death, burial, and resurrection. And we're able to touch on important things like if it is only the death also, that if the resurrection had not happened, according to Paul telling the Corinthians, he said, you are of all men the most miserable, if it is only this world that we have. So we said the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus is actually the premise upon which our righteousness is established. And because that death cannot be reversed, because nothing can be done to it, nothing can be taken away from it, nothing can be added to it, that means your righteousness is untouchable. It is not editable. It is not modifiable. It is an absolute, regardless of what we pass through. Hallelujah. And we're also able to look at the nature of our righteousness. And we said the nature of our righteousness is that, okay, before we talk about nature, we talked about the gift of the righteousness as being a gift, that we did nothing to earn it. We did nothing to qualify for it. It's just gift. So the only thing we did was someone died, and we and I believed unto that death, and we became righteous. And we said it's so strong that even if you don't believe it, it does not disannul it. I mean, if I like, I should not believe you are a guy. My own belief cannot make you a gay. Do you understand? I mean, in my mind, I can look at this keyboard and say, this keyboard is calculator. The fact that I have brainwashed myself to believe it's a calculator does not change this, that is a keyboard. And I said, it's not like saying, it's not the day we became born again that there was the righteousness of God that started existing. Even before we believed, it has been. So what did our belief do? Our belief just appropriated it to us and brought us into that reality. And we're able to establish that, okay, it's a free gift after that. We said it was what? The nature of the righteousness. And what did we say? We said the nature was everlasting. That the nature of our righteousness is eternal. Just like every other thing God has done for us. The life, His kingdom, our redemption, everything God does is eternal. And I think I touched on the fact that the only thing I had a doubt about was the human body. That human body was created by God and it was not eternal. But then, I told you how I realized in this place also, when Pastor was teaching us, that it was God. It was not God that made the body. I think everyone in God said that if it was God that created this body, before the breath in the air. Then God created death before life. Hallelujah. So today we are continuing. I would like us to read. I told you we're going to be looking at the need for righteousness, and after the need, how did we become righteous? Then after looking at how we became righteous, we are going to see that how can we grow in this righteousness? So we are looking at three things basically this evening. We are looking at the need for righteousness. Why did he need righteousness? Isaiah chapter 43. Let me just drop a few thoughts here. The need for righteousness. The need for righteousness is the need to become one with God again. Like, sin came and separated us. Abby? I said, you guys should not just think that my hairs are too heavy to hear. You don't think my hands are too short. He said, but your iniquity has separated you from me. So I like to think this way, that God has always been constant. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Abi. So when that happened, who changed? It wasn't God. So who went away? Man. He said, hey guys, all of you guys, you have gone astray. He said, but now you have restored back to the bishop and overseer of your souls. He said, by whose stripes you are healed. So who went away? Who went astray? You and I. Who went away? And just God kept calling until he made that final declaration on the cross. And he came and, everybody could not come. And Jesus Christ shouted, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So God had never departed. God has always been constant. So it was us that went away. So why did God create us in the first place? God wanted a fellowship with us. He wanted a relationship with us. And the idea was, okay, the idea of creation was the new creation in Christ Jesus. Abby? I'm sure we saw a few thoughts around that in Genesis, understanding Genesis. So Isaiah 43 verse 21. Yeah, verse 21. Okay, I read. If you start reading from verse 1, you would actually realize that it was talking about the new man, the new creation in Christ Jesus. Verse 1 says that, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name, thou art mine. He said, when thou passed through waters and everything, and he went ahead. And you see that everything happening, it was a shadow that was descriptive of the new man in Christ. So when he goes to verse 21, look at what he says about you and I. He says, this people have I formed. Why have I formed them? He said that they show forth my praise. Hallelujah. So, he has formed us. The idea of the new creation is to radiate the glory of God. It's to share in that glory. You know, God shared actually. He shared everything with us. And Jesus Christ was praying in John chapter 17. He said, now give me back my glory. He said, the glory I have with you, even from the beginning. So we discovered that God shared his spirit with us. The glory is shared with us. His nature is shared with us. Everything about the new man is God sharing himself with us. I mean, the new man became a partaker of a divine nature. Abi? So when we became a partaker of that divine nature, we became all that God is. And that's what we can say, as he is, so we are in this world. So we shared his glory with us. He shared his name. Hallelujah. He shared his spirit. He shared everything with us. He shared his authority. Everything that God has, he shared with you. And that's why he became. So why? Because he wanted us to show forth his praise. That's it. 43 verse 21 says, these people I have created. He said, do what? I have formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. 1 Peter 2:29, quickly. We should be able to recite that by heart. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth who? The praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, the need for righteousness is the need for an existence in the marvelous light. How did he call us? We were just there. We were dead in our sins. We were dead to every reality that was good. And God came and said, see, I want to call you guys. And he made a call by asking Jesus that, Jesus, okay, go to the cross and die. Once you die, these people, there will be an opening. There will be a new way that is consecrated so that these guys can come in. And when they come in, they share in everything that I have with them as my sons. And they can go all out there and radiate my glory. And that was the need for righteousness. So the need for righteousness is the need for fellowship, is the need for life, is the need to show forth the praise of him that has called us out of darkness into his light. Marvelous light. Hallelujah. So, after man's sin, we all came under judgment of death. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As such, we were separated from God. Is it 1 Peter 2:25 says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We all went astray from the way of life, but even man in his sins will still feel the vacuum. You know, the reality is, for some of us, I used to say this about Pastor Onoyinka. I said, Pastor Onoyinka's way did not come into my life to trigger questions. He came into my life to answer the questions I've always had. And the same way, that was what Jesus Christ did for a lot of us. It wasn't at the instance of Jesus that, oh, there was now a vacuum that Jesus now filled. It has always been there. And if we're going to be honest with ourselves, you know that even before we came into this reality, there was always something that we knew was not complete about us. So, and that was the need for righteousness. That's why we needed to become righteous. Hallelujah. So, he said, yet, God wouldn't have lost us forever. He's a savior. He needed to accept us back, but not as filthy. He then made a provision for righteousness for us. He wants us to live again. Hence the provision. Relationship was bettered and fellowship was restored again. He said, that was how Peter can, John can come up boldly. And so these things we are telling you, it's not just some old fables. He said, we are telling you about what we have seen. He said, we are telling you about what you have handled. He said, we have been with this thing. He said, even the word of life. He said, we have fellowship with what? He said, we have fellowship with the Father. It's a beautiful fellowship. And that's what we are called into. We are called unto fellowship. And that's what righteousness is. Because there was no way darkness and light could have existed. So that was the need for righteousness. I was like, what was I about to teach? I was like, oh, if I want to teach about righteousness, I just say, oh, I'm not teaching about righteousness. I'm teaching about such as I have. As in, I'm so persuaded about it. As in, there is really nothing. And I was giving some practical examples. You know, I had an accident. And someone said, Oluwani, it's because you're not paying your tithe. I had an accident. And I was so convinced of righteousness that I just looked at him and I said, okay. The God started to punish me for all the years that I've not been paying tithe. And the only thing I have was just that my car got damaged. And he like, he's still a good God. I mean, just imagine someone is owing me for years. I mean, and I want to deal with you. I want to deal with you in my old self. Come on. So even, you know, in that situation, I still found a way to extol the goodness of God. And that's what we need to do. Regardless of what we are passing through, we are not in any way. We don't have any iota of doubt in our hearts that we are righteous people. Every day, no matter how messed up your day is, no matter how insufficient you feel in yourself, you are not thinking it robbery. It doesn't cross your mind that you are equal with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 says, where is 1 John? I don't know where 1 John is again. Okay. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Therefore, the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show you unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested where? Unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may do what? May have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is what? Is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, there was always a need for what? For fellowship. So John came and said, see, this is the provision for that fellowship. I mean, the Lamb of God going to that cross to die was the provision for that fellowship. And these things, we were there. We saw it. We looked upon it. Our hands handled it. I mean, this word of life. Is that the same thing we have come to communicate unto you? This is the same thing we are telling you. So that what? He says, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that was the need for the righteousness, because we had to be fellowship, and two cannot work together except they agree. So God needed to do something. He needed to shed Himself and clothed us and became His righteousness. If you look at it, you'll say, and this is right way unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message we be afraid of Him. You know, Jesus Christ came and all He was doing was preaching righteousness. Something that say, don't worry, the time is coming. You guys will not be sufficient in yourself. It will be so bad that except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees. He said, you guys cannot see the kingdom of God. He was trying to plead that their self-righteousness. He was telling the Pharisees, he said, you guys are just white sepulchres. He said, you guys are just whitewashed tombs. He said, you guys, you pay attention to what? To the outside of the cup, but you don't do anything about the inside. He said, no, it's not what comes out of what goes into a man that defies him, it's what comes out of him. So he was trying to play that on self-righteousness. Was showing them and say there is a new and an excellent way I'm coming to commission. And this is what the Apostle John was saying here. He said, this is then the message which you have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Where are you? Where am I? I mean, like, can I be darkness? So does it make sense to you that the man in Christ, the new creation, is in Christ Jesus and is in light? And because he's in light, it cannot be darkness. He's in righteousness. Because he's in righteousness, it cannot be unrighteous. Hallelujah. Are we together? So he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So if I'm saying that God is righteous, I am in Him and I'm unrighteous, what am I doing? I'm lying. I'm not saying the truth, because the truth is, righteousness cannot exist inside righteousness. The same way darkness cannot exist. So the need for that fellowship, the need for, let me say it in Yoruba, the need for, when I say it right, kalibaraware. You don't understand. You know this snake, this green snake. No, when you say, that's what they call bare, like when the green snake is in the midst of the green grass, there is no difference. So that was the basis. So that fellowship is possible. Communion is possible. So God cannot say, this person, don't worry, just stay like that, we'll stay fellowship regardless. You can stay unrighteous. I am righteous. You can stay darkness. I am light. Don't worry, we'll stay fellowship. No, it's not possible. Are we together? So he said, we have seen, he said, the need for life was the need for righteousness. He said, death came, passed unto all, and none could save himself. So have we been able to establish the need for righteousness tonight? The need for righteousness was the need for that fellowship, was the need to be a partaker of that relationship, to be a partaker of that life. And we had to be one. We have to be integrated. You know, the word integrated is from the word integer. Integer means one. Mathematical students, Abby? Integer means one. So it was for that integration to be possible. So that as I'm standing as I am in God. But that was the need for righteousness. I play around these things, but as I play around it, it's so conscious in my mind. I have to go through that. I remember there was a time I was going to have boil. I was like, Dulu, I need this boil. And it was coming up, and it was obvious it was boil. I was like, I beg you, did you just ever have boy? Did you just ever have boy? I didn't know how he disappeared. Hey, you thought you were just like, I was just praying yesterday, and our firstborn spoke to me. I said, Jesus. He's the firstborn amongst many brethren. Is that what the Bible says? And you know, the last born of the family is the person that gives his life to Christ. That's the last born. If there's another person gives his life, that would be the last born. So the guy's the firstborn amongst many brethren now. So it's like, so I was worshiping yesterday, and my firstborn spoke to me. I'd be like, are you mad? Where's your firstborn? I guess I'm the firstborn in my house. In my physical, biological. Then I said, the firstborn, he'd be like, which firstborn are you talking to you again? But I'm so conscious of my eternal relationship, my spiritual relationship. I'm so conscious of that family tree. And it was because of that need for that fellowship that darkness needed to go, unrighteousness needed to go, and there will be fellowship. Hallelujah. So, the need for fellowship, the need to be a partaker of that divine nature, of that life. It doesn't matter. Isn't our God that will become unrighteous to identify with us? So he had to make us righteous to identify with him. Is it God that will not die to identify with our death? No, he had to give us life. He had to quicken us to identify with his life. Is it God that will not become darkness because he wants to identify with us? No. Of course, he became all those things just in 3 days. He became all those things. So that he knew that with him, his choice was just doing it so that he can bring many sons to glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, we ask that our heart be open to this truth. Let it will be eternally scripted on the tables of our hearts, and we'll walk in the fullness of it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So how did we become righteous? How did we become righteous? I, for emphasis, I wrote in my jotter, I said, by faith, full stop. And I wrote, alone. I don't want to say by faith alone, not full stop. By faith, full stop. Alone, full stop. By faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 5 to 11. Romans chapter 10, verse 5 to 11. Quickly. Romans chapter 10, verse 5 to 11 says, are we there? Okay, let's open our Bibles. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, to be able to discuss around the scriptures together. I tell people, Pastor Ezekiel, do you know that a drunk, as someone that drinks from Sokoto, and a drunk in Abuja, if they meet, it don't take them 5 minutes to start talking about girls and ups. As in, they don't have to have met before. You just fellowship together. You don't understand. You know, it's painful when I see believers and we are still, you know, say, Brother Inka is not talking to me. But I talk to Brother Inka. Because every time you see a believer, it's an opportunity to fellowship around that which you have in common, the Spirit. It's an opportunity to share in that fellowship with the Father. Because we know that any time we are gathered, there is always something to explore about this beautiful nature. There is something to explore about that which makes us who we are. So what is this? I'm like, I don't know. It's a beautiful thing. I love it when we're talking about the Word of God. When you're talking about the spiritual. It's so beautiful. I mean, it's an amazing thing, really. So how do they become righteous? It said, by faith alone. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. From verse 5 to 11. Okay? So, I'm reading a long passage, so we'll take it one after the other. I take verse 5, 6, like that. Okay? Verse 5 says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. Verse 6. Okay, verse 7 says, all who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Okay, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reason you and I cannot be ashamed is because we have believed. It's because we are clothed in that righteousness. It's because we are clothed in that understanding that as he is, so are we. Bro Joshua, the Lord bless you. As he is, so are we. So we're not ashamed. He said, Moses said, he said, those that do these things, he said, they will live by them. He says, say not in thy heart, who is going to ascend to bring Christ down? Or who is going to go into the deep to bring him from the dead? He said, but the righteous that is by what? He said, that is by faith. He speaks of this wise. He says, say not in thy heart, don't do this. He said, but what saith is, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt believe and will confess, thou shalt what? Be saved. So what do you need to be saved? Confess, and you become righteous. I mean, it's so beautiful. I was just listening to the gospel with someone today, and she was excited about it. Like, what if I do this? All right, I say, calm down. I said, if you have a dog in your house, and see, we need to understand the power of nature. I said, if you have a dog in your house, and that was the example I actually gave her, that I was like, wow. I said, if you have a dog in your house, I said, tomorrow morning, your dog starts sounding like a cow. It's dog. So you go tomorrow to Dr. Tola. You carry your dog. If you enter Dr. Tola's office, are you going to say, sir, ma, my cow is having a problem? Who is he? He said, my dog is sounding like a cow. I mean, it doesn't matter the number of days. That dog has stopped sounding like a dog. And he has started sounding like a cow. You will still not call it a cow when you get to the veterinary doctor. That's how strong our nature of righteousness is. As in, that's... You understand that, Abby? That's how strong it is. In the face of anything, I can stand and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can scream it out loud. I don't need your permission. I don't need your approval. I don't need you to believe it. The same way, what's about your sex? I'm a guy. I like you. I'm a girl. You're stupid. Whatever you like. Think. I'm a guy. Like, that's the way. I'm righteous. It doesn't matter what you're saying. I am righteous. Can I be a bad example? Can I be a good example? Yes, but I am righteous. Until we understand that this is what we have. And how did we get it? We got it by faith alone. By faith alone. Hallelujah. We only believed unto it. Romans chapter 4 verse 6. Romans 4 6. Let's look at the following scriptures. Romans 4 6. And Romans 4:6 says, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without what? Without works. Apart from works. It was imputed without works. You know, a lot of us, you know, in our offices sometimes the things we do and we get away with, is because of the nature of the fact that we are a staff. I mean, is it that every time you open your office, you are not a staff again today? When you feel so bad, tomorrow you are a staff. Next tomorrow, you are not a staff again. No? Next week, you are a staff. You know, that's how we used to paint these things. My staffhood is predicated on the appointment I received months, years ago. For me to stop becoming a star, even if I steal, I will still have to go through a process before they fire me. And until they say that final word, fire you. And of course, you know we have eternal salvation. This is how God does not fire us. As I was saying, you know, if we look around, you know, there is a company in the U.S. They said once they employ you, they don't sack you. Yes, they just started the company maybe early in the year. That because they believe that part of their responsibility as a company is to make you better. So no matter how much you mess up, they keep recommending programs for you, trainings to bring you to the level they want you to be. Woman be no, they are not even born again in that company. I mean, I just look at a lot of examples abound. See, I've experienced the tolerance of man. I say, man that is not regenerated. Have experienced their tolerance. Not like Arsene Wenger. I'm sorry. I like Arsene Wenger is someone that will buy a player, the player will mess up. West of Adebayo, Chamak, this guy will still be using them in games. I mean, that's the tolerance of man. And you know, if you ask this guy in press releases, he will still tell you fantastic things about these guys, about their potentials. human being. I don't know where, I don't think Wenka is born again. But how much more when the nature of God is not in his nature to cast away. He said, whoever comes unto me, I will by no means cast. That's how strong it is. So until we understand these things, there are some things we will never get hold of. Because at the verge of possessing some things, we are in between. Is it heat? Is it not heat? Is it heat? Is it not heat? No. Hallelujah. He said this, David described that blessedness. That's in Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Romans 2, verse 16. Says, let's say Romans 2:16. For I am not ashamed. Okay, Romans 2:16, right? Yeah, 1:16. Okay, as I say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Unto who? Unto who? Unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. The just shall live by faith. Ephesians 2, chapter 4, verse 4 to 9. Ephesians 2, are we together? Are we together? Or we should just close already. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 9. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, at what? Quickened us with Christ. He said, by what? By grace ye are saved. By grace ye are saved. Verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk therein. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said what? He said we are saved apart from works. It is not of ourselves. It is not of ourselves. He said, lest no man should boast. Whoever was talking about Abraham, he said, if Abraham had whereof to glory, he said, not before God. He said, not before God. I said, like, at times, what were you talking to people, you know? This kind of message of preach is also important that we be right. So at times, people are like, okay, shut up your mouth. You've known me for 5 years. Have you known me to ever be reckless? I mean, I want to boast. Have you known me to ever be reckless? Have you known me as a careless person? So how come you think this thing I'm preaching is trying to tell people to live recklessly? I'm probably like, Etoluwani, I know you, but yeah, no. I'm like, no, okay, calm down. The power that is at work in me is at work in them too. So all that boasting is what? Is before who? Before man. So you have whereof, you have nothing to glory about. And that's why it's by faith alone. Amen. Romans 4, verse 1 to 25. I like to read this account a lot. I like to read the account a lot. And as we zero in on how we became righteous. So when we understand, we have understood the nature, the basis for our righteousness. We have understood the nature. And we have understood the freeness of it. So now we are trying to understand how. So that you know that, okay, if indeed you have fulfilled this how you are. And that how is by faith alone. Romans chapter 4. Hi, therefore. What shall we say then? What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, found? As pertaining to the flesh had found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For once he heard the scriptures, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 4 together, everybody. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So, what is counted for righteousness? Our piousness, our devotions, our prayers, our evangelism, casting out demons, healing the sick. He said, what? He said, faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Can we echo that together? Without works. Saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Commit the blessedness upon them. Upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also. For we said that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was this then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So how was it imputed? By faith. By faith. How did you get it? By faith. How did it come? By faith. It's not about anything we have done. And he says that, he said, while he was yet, he said, he just received the circumcision as what? As a seal. The same way you and I received the Holy Ghost. As a seal. Until that day of redemption, it was dropped as a token. And some of us, we don't understand this because we have not played tete. You don't play tete. You know, when you play tete, like, do this. My first jamboni, I used to play game, PlayStation. It used to be 1,029 or so then. 1,000 or something. So I used to play games. So that guy had, you know, when you are playing with someone and you are betting with someone, you already know that you are going to, you are the one that will chop the money. You know, sometimes you don't even give the bodman your own money. You just keep your own money in your pocket. Because you know that it's just, at the end of the day, it's just to collect the other guy's money. In your pocket. As in, you're so sure. So your money is almost like a token and assurance. And that's the way it is. He said, we receive the spirit as a deposit. That, hey, guy, you are my own possession. So this is a mark. You are marked down. Don't worry. Until the day when this price will be fully redeemed. And I told that that is eternal too. And that was what he was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, we know that even if this tabernacle could be destroyed, he said, we have what? He said, we have a building. He said, that is eternal in the heavens. This is a token. And that's why a lot of people, even on the earth, they be using that token to press into something. They appear as though they are immortal. And some people, you know, like, there is nothing that is normal about their physical body again. They don't fall sick. They are just dead to everything that fills the human body. Hallelujah. So let's continue. He said, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also walk in the steps of that word, of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. But do you know that the gospel was preached to Abraham? Some of them, that was how they could have faith. A shadow, one way, the gospel was communicated to them. And that's what the Bible says, that Abraham, he was looking for a city whose builder is God. He was, you know, these guys are awesome. They're awesome people. And I said, for the promise that it should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if the which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law walketh through, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. It is of faith that it might be by grace. It is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not. Tell your neighbor, stagger not against your righteousness. Stagger not at your righteousness. Be comfortable with your righteousness. As in, be at home with your righteousness. As in, let it not upset you. And that's how we should be. You know, that's why you can just wake up. Eh? Like, you can just wake up and just stand up and brush the libra garosh, kali madosa, the libra garis, kali bragados. And you're just doing it. You're just, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. He said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So brothers, when we understand we are righteous, what do? We give glory. We rejoice. We rejoice. We rejoice. That's the fruit of that righteousness in you is joy. Joy. Like, oh, God, glory to God. I'm righteous. I'm the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Let's just praying and just smiling. It's like, this one is mumu. Like, you're just enjoying yourself. Like, oh, glory to God. I just remember the fact that I'm redeemed. I just remember the fact that I'm redeemed. And I'm happy. I'm excited. I mean, at times I'm trying to still comprehend the depth and the height, the length and the breadth of the love of God. God just looked at us, the whole messed up world. I just said, I'm going to give my son. And by the reason of the death of my son on the cross of Calvary, because they're going to become righteous, and their righteous will become eternal. Not just eternal, he's going to be free. And not just because they're going to be free, he's going to give them the opportunity to fellowship with me. You know, you can come and just make that bold statement and say, I am my father. We are one. Why did they kill Jesus? I was reading 1 Timothy chapter 6, and he said that by which Jesus Christ, he said he made a good confession before Pharaoh. I was like, see, for them to have recorded the confession Jesus Christ made before Pharaoh, so I went back to John. So I read the account. Oh, yeah, I started from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I got to John. I liked the way. I was like, see, I am a witness to the truth. And all that is the truth, they will come unto the truth. And he was saying all these things. And he was saying that I am my father, we are one. And then I am the son of God. And they're like, crucify him. How can he say that? I mean, you're just a bloody human being. How can you? But the Bible says that he thought it was robbery to be equal with God. Are you going to follow that footsteps? And that's how to understand this righteousness. You feast on it. You meditate on it. You twist it. As, I'm not saying we create a rema. I say, you know, you just look at all dimensions there is to it. You know, you look at it from the right, you adore it, you exalt it, you extol it, you beautify it, you honor that truth. You accept it, you don't stagger at it, you welcome it, you are not walking in unbelief towards it. And you see it's driving you in directions, you know, you see it's doing great things in your life. You see, you are excited about, see, let me tell you, go and look at it. Anybody who is an effective evangelist, they believe in the eternity of salvation. They believe in it. They believe in it. I had one of our chaplains. Remember those who used to cry for anointing on campus? I would go from one program to the other. I remember one program went for like that. I can't forget the topic in my life. I was in the heart of the might. We prayed that night. So one of the guys who organized the project, our campus chaplain, is someone I respect so much. You know, he's a great guy. So I made a post on Facebook about righteousness. And even just came to it. Then I just left school now. So a lot of my friends from campus were still my friends. And he was still well-respected. And everything. They were like, Uluwani, hey, tackle this man today. I just told him. I said, sir, two things. If indeed righteousness, salvation is not eternal. Then can we just shut up when people die and stop saying they have gone to be with the Lord? Because we don't know what they did last before they died. I say, and can we stop all those beautiful songs they sing at funeral? And be like, rest in the bosom of the Lord Jesus. You see, can we? You don't know. I plugging the guy to help. Like, you don't know because you don't know what he did last. Because the secrets of the heart of men are only learned by God. So can we stop walking in this open deceit? You are forever righteous. And we need to understand, I don't know how I can say it. I don't know how much I can dwell on it. We are forever righteous, eternally righteous. Everlasting righteousness is what we have. It doesn't diminish. It's not perishable. It's incorruptible. I mean, nothing can corrupt it. Nothing. It cannot defile it. I mean, that righteousness has odechi. Anything that comes, it dusts. It's odechi. Dust odechi. It goes. We need to understand this. Okay, so we're reading Romans, Abi. He said, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, Abi. Now, he said, now it was written for his sake alone. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. To whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised Jesus up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why was he raised? Your justification. That was why he was raised. That was why he resurrected. That was why the power of an endless life came upon him and he came out. And yet I can see beautifully. He can say, oh, Jesus is risen again, he's Lord. Death could not hold him captive. My sinfulness could not hold him captive. No, he rose. And he rose righteous. And we became the righteousness. So we are died. We died with him. We identified with him in his death. We are buried with him. And also, we identified with him in his resurrection. We are righteous as he is. And we do not see it as robbery. We are not overstating our importance. We are not overemphasizing our reality. As in, is reality well appropriated? Not exaggerated. And we are not going to play it down. If you like, don't like it, go my this keyboard with your head. I am not going to play down the reality that I am as righteousness as him, because I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 Romans 3 verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Hallelujah. There is no what? There is no difference. Verse 25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare what is righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Is there any unbeliever in Jesus here this evening? Any unbeliever in Jesus? Is there any unbeliever? So, for as many that have believed, we are righteous. That's how we became righteous. That's how it happened. That is how. It didn't happen through another way. That's how. I mean, through the high, the low, the black and the fair, the short and the tall, the fat and the slim. That's how it happened, by believing. By believing. If it's by works, there are some things you won't be able to do. We are naturally constrained in ourselves. We are naturally constrained. I mean, by my stature, there are some things I cannot do. So just imagine the functions are spelled out, that anyone that wants to become righteous, this is what you have to do. For some people, height will be a disadvantage. For some of us, size will be a disadvantage. For some of us, our skin color will be a disadvantage. Is it not in the US that you are just black and they kill you? He said, but so that there is an equal platform, and that platform is belief. And you don't have to do anything. Come as you are. Come as you are. Oh, by faith alone. Hallelujah. I read Romans chapter 10 earlier. I didn't think we need to read it again. I read that He speaks, the righteousness that is by faith, he speaks to us. If thou shalt believe in thy heart and confess in thy mouth, he said, then thou shalt be saved. Remember that guy, when Paul, when they were in the prison, he said, what can I do to be saved? It was so simple. I mean, it's so simple. And I said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, you and your household. It's so simple. I don't know why we play this down. I don't know why we decide to just... hallelujah. I don't know why we decide to make these things that are too simple. We just like it to be difficult. Okay, so what do we believe? Okay, I've been able to touch on what we believe. We believe the gospel. So when the gospel is preached, it is a declaration of what? Of righteousness. Hallelujah. It is a declaration of what? Of righteousness. So when we are declaring the gospel, what are we saying? We are declaring righteousness. What are we saying? We are saying this righteousness is there for you guys. You guys should just come and do what? Come and lay hold of it. We are not asking you to do anything. We are just saying, just come. He said, who has believed our report? Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, who has believed our report? He said, and to whom is the hand of the Lord, arm of the Lord revealed? So how do we reveal the arm of the Lord? By preaching the gospel. By preaching righteousness. He said, and the man who believes is automatically declared righteous. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7. Hebrews 11 verse 7 says that by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear. And what did he do? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by what? Which is by faith. Righteousness, which is by faith. And the same thing with Abraham. They believed and they were declared righteous. They just believed. You know, I used to be that a prostitute would believe the message of God, would enter the ark and would be saved. And a virgin who says no would perish in the flood. A chaste person who says no will perish in the flood. And it was that simple. Because the harm of flesh will fail everybody. The strength of man will fail him. And that's what I used to tell people, that if it's by works, who thought after, if it's by works, after when the instruction came, he said the whole world was filthy, this and that. Okay, the instruction was coming upon the world. Okay, there is a provision. You know, there was a shadow of salvation. There was a provision, and now, okay, guy, build an ark, do this. After the ark, he said the old humanity had perished, and God wanted to start a new breed with Noah and Shiva. Abi, are we together? Let me tell you. I said, as dirty as the pig was, the pig entered. You don't understand. The pig obeyed the gospel. And it was saved. Pig. Elede. Pig. Hallelujah. It was saved. I mean, it was a guy that was the best dressed in the award night then. He didn't enter. The guy was destroyed. The pig entered. Pig. I saw a pig. Elede entered. So people, human being died. What's the difference? Believed. And I was saying that if it's by works, who thought one of the children of Noah, after the Lord, who taught him to laugh at his father's nakedness? I mean, the whole world had perished, there was no bad influence. Okay, let's now say, okay, he was but a child. Who taught Noah how to curse? Who now taught him how to curse? That when something pains you so much, what you will do is it will curse. To understand that the guy was even a frail man, and the only thing that separated him was because he believed unto righteousness. He believed. That's how, by faith alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how do they become righteous? By faith. So we've been able to look at what? We've been able to look at our righteousness, that it's our ability to stand before God without a sense of fear, of guilt, of condemnation, inferiority complex, without any consciousness of sin whatsoever. And I said that even the fact that you are sensing that you are condemned does not mean you are condemned. That's the amazing thing about it. The fact that you are also thinking, you know, you're like, the fact that you even have a sense of condemnation does not mean you are condemned. It's only that you're having the sense. So, has it not happened to you before that sometimes you just feel that there is something on your head? You are feeling it, that there is something on your head. And I say, please, check my head now. Is there something? You say there is no something. Ah, like, I'm feeling something. You know, the fact that you are feeling that there is something there does not mean it's there. That's a feeling. You know, it contrasts totally with reality. Hallelujah. So, we have seen the basis for our righteousness. And we say it was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We have also seen that word, that it's free in nature. And we also know that it is eternal. It is everlasting in nature, regardless of you, apart from works, despite you, in spite of you. And we have also been able to see that the need for it was the need for fellowship. And God needed to bring us to a level of equality. He brought us to the same pedestal like him, so that relationship will be possible, fellowship will be possible. Hallelujah. And we have also been able to see that the way we became righteous is what? Is because we have faith. Faith alone. Faith alone. So, having understood all these things, what does it do to us? What does it do to us? What does it do to us? It makes us grow. I mean, there is no better way to grow spiritually than understanding our righteousness. It makes us grow. And growing in it will mean that our righteousness is what we keep understanding. We must walk in all its fullness, for in its understanding do we maximize it. Now, I'm not saying that righteousness grows. Is it that you are righteous or you are unrighteous? I'm saying your understanding, you grow in it. You grow in that understanding. See, when I understood righteousness, I didn't understand it as much. I remember one stupid sermon I preached when I was on campus. I've seen a bit of light. And I stood and I said, see, you know what? Righteousness, salvation, is like getting admission without writing jump. Beautiful sermon. Shamba. Beautiful sermon. After establishing that, I say, but making heaven is like convocation. You know that you have to write exams and pass. Eh? Hallelujah. When I remember that thing now, only me in my room, I feel embarrassed. And then those days, they were not recording messages. It would have been so insulting. I'm like, are you serious? You said this. What were you thinking about? Are you stupid? What are you saying? It wasn't making sense. I mean, what makes you think that someone, whatever thing, made me believe that you can get admission without writing jobs? You made me know that you can convocate without writing exams. But why you started to use half of my brain and lock up the other half? I don't know. You know, it's a beast. It's very funny. What am I saying? Over the years, we keep growing in it. We keep growing in it. We grow in it. And by growing it, you maximize it. You know, that's why you can know that, no, this is beautiful. You can run out and run to the street. That's also what says something that this goes to say. If you are the wife of five husbands, when you hear it, you become an evangelist. Remember that woman? That woman, John chapter 8. He said, the person you are with now is not your husband, you've had five husbands. He said, after Jesus Christ had told him, he said, the woman ran and went, they come and see. And the woman shut the city down with the gospel. And he didn't restitute. And she didn't restitute. You understand? So, it's a beautiful thing. So, when you grow in this understanding, it alters the course of your life as far as ministry and life is concerned. And that's why he says essential. And he said the following prayer, we're full of prayers about understanding, that the heights of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know this, that you may understand this, that you know the hope of your calling, that you do this, because it is important that we know. John the gospel was telling us, he said, this thing I tell you, I've written to you. He said, so that you what? So that you will have eternal life. When he got to the epistle, he said, so that you will know that you have it. So that you will know. So that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. In Christ Jesus, righteousness is in you. You acknowledge it. All you do every day is just to wake up and acknowledge it. Let's come and say, this God, you too good. Oh. It's not anywhere they promote you in the office. I mean, you just look at it and you're like, God, I'm so righteous. I'm so holy. Let me tell you something. You have to grow. As at about 2012 or 2013, when Sinach, it is, I am holy. I am. Before I call that thing, I pause. Like, I am holy. I am righteous. It's true. It's true. Who has believed this report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It has been revealed to us because we have believed. You are as righteous as forever. Your righteousness is as steady, as finite, as absolute, as it is impossible to reverse the days of Jesus. So, what we believe it is, so we agree, you know, he said, our righteousness is what we keep understanding, and we must walk in all its fullness, for it is in understanding do we do what we maximize it. He said, we must not see it as robbery. As in, I'm sorry, I like saying a lot of Yoruba. Majoko Jelaya. As in, you look at your righteousness like this. You are not scared. You have no doubts. The people that regarded righteousness, they did so much exploits. Our righteousness is one to be regarded, is one to be esteemed highly, highly. It's something to be extolled, something to be exalted, something we should be bold about, something we should declare powerfully. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, and Hebrews chapter 5, verse 3. I think I'm narrowing down. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. We should know that often. It says, as newborn babes, it's a desire, the sincere milk of the world, that we may grow thereby. So, as we look at the world, we start seeing ourselves as we are. We see these promises of God that they are true and real. And we grow in them. We grow in them. We need to be skilled in this understanding. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 3 says, and by reason hereof, he hurts. No, that's not what I'm looking for. 5, verse 3, verse 13. Okay, verse 13 rather. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He is a babe. So we need to be skilled in it. We need to understand it. We need to be learned in our righteousness. We need to be educated. We need to be erudite in our righteousness. We need to learn it. We need to know it. We need to be schooled in it. It doesn't fall on us. It doesn't jump on us. So that's the place of work. Place of work. Hard work. So also understand that you're not working to get it. Because how do we get it? We get it by faith alone. So what are you doing? You want to know how to harness it. You want to how to use it. So you need to be schooled. You need to be taught. You need to learn. You need to understand. And all this you do. So one thing you need to also understand about your righteousness is that as much as you have it, you have to get intimate with it. You have to learn. You have to school around it. You have to be educated around it to be able to make the best use of it, to all work in all its fullness. There's another vital thing we need to understand about our righteousness. It's something we grow in. We grow in it. We grow into it. We don't grow it in it. Not that we grow our righteousness. Hallelujah. He said, and growing with the word, it would imply that we are meditating on it and we keep saying it. He said, the man who doesn't understand his right standing with God would be limited. it would not place, as it were, a serious demand on the finished works of Christ, he is timid. You know, like, you know, they told a lot of stories that they would say, one was trying to cast out demon. And he was trying to cast out demon. They would say, where do you stand? He said, I stand on the ground. He was like, rubbish. Why? No, you need to be schooled in it. We need to understand this reality much more than anything. Okay, so how do you know that you are growing in righteousness? You know you are growing in righteousness when you become a preacher of it. See, what you are not persuaded of, you cannot persuade others about. You are growing in it when you can come up boldly to say, see, guy, I'm not even just teaching you the righteousness in the Bible. Such as I have, I am communicating to you. Such as I have known, such as I have received, I'm preaching to you. The Bible referred to Noah. He said he was a preacher of righteousness. He was. So, is it safe to say that a man who keeps quiet about his declaration of righteousness is a man that is not fully persuaded of it? We know it now. The last time you bought a good phone, you shouted about it. The last time you trusted your wristwatch, the last time you trusted your car, you shouted about it. So if you're really persuaded about it, you won't keep quiet. Human beings, we are wired to talk when we are impressed. So when the impression is so loud in your heart that you are righteous, I mean, you are eternally righteous, you are everlastingly righteous, you are righteous freely, you are righteous on the basis of the death and resurrection, you are loud about it. So, you know, the reason why we don't have so much evangelism as we should have is because we are not loud. And the reason we are not loud is because we are not persuaded. We're not persuaded. So, being a preacher of it is indicative that you have actually understood it. Then you make you do works of righteousness too. You know, the reason a lot of people can just do anything is because we forget who we are. How did Jesus put it? He said, such a man is just like a man who beheld himself in the mirror. He said, and immediately he turned away. He said, he forgets the manner of man that he is. He forgets that he has been washed from his sins. I mean, did he realize that, you are, this is who you are. And this thing I'm doing is contrary to who I am. A lot changes about you. A lot changes about you. I used to believe, when I was growing up, I'm a preacher's kid. And even when I didn't know the Lord, something kept me in check. The fact that I kept hearing that, I'm a pastor, they are this. I wanted to be a different breed of my pastor. So I realized that, okay, this is what a pastor's child is supposed to be. And I ensure that I put it continually before me as not to forget. Was I saved? No. Did I make mistakes? Yes. Did I do some silly stuff? Yes. But was I restrained? Was I restricted? Yes, I was. Why? Because it was in my consciousness that I am a preacher's kid. The same way. So the most law denominated church. We see them, we know them, we've been there. We've been there. We know that this thing does not work. We know it doesn't work. Righteousness is of the work of the law. It says that those that do this thing shall live by them. They are not living by another. They are not. I mean, it's difficult. When you are living from the angle that I have it. It's a different outcome altogether. Then you bear fruit unto righteousness too. The only way you can bear fruit unto righteousness is understanding your righteousness. That's the only way you can bear the fruit. That's the only way you can have good works. That's the only way you can remind yourself that Paul told the Ephesians church, he said, for you are his workmanship. He said, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works that he had ordained that we walk in it before time. He had ordained it. So you understand, every day you are just searching in your heart, God, what would you have me walk in today? You are in a situation and someone gets you so angry. You are saying, God, what have I been created to walk into in this situation? That's how to bear fruit unto it.
No, I used to tell people that the reason we cannot manifest some things in our lives is because we don't understand it. I used to tell people that in my office, it's more difficult for me to punish someone now because there is this forgiveness is just continually before me. As in, I just know that to live and see this thing, you have to live it too. Because it's not enough to be trying to tell people that, see, God is love, God tolerates, God endures, and I have the life of God in me, and anybody that offends me, I'm cutting them down. Pam, 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 pam. You know, it has eaten deep into who I am. I mean, this is, I don't even know what gets me angry again. I'm like, can I even get angry? I get angry, by the way. Let me just, all right. But I'm trying to say that, I used to have anger so much that my mom went out and bought a book for me and said, kill anger before anger kills you. That is the title of the book. Kill anger before anger kills you. I'm like, my life has finished. But now I know that the fruit of righteousness is quietness. The effect of righteousness is quietness and peace forever. I know. Assurance. So, also another thing, you wage war and do experts with righteousness. 2 Peter 2, 5 says, and he spared not the angels of not the old world, but saved Noah, the hate person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Okay? So that's talking about how Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He talks about when you also see Abraham, you see that he was an advocate of righteousness. You see, if Abraham had negotiated, that if there was one, no, this is me talking, not Bible. The Holy Ghost didn't tell me. In fact, the Holy Ghost did not tell me. And it didn't, nobody told me. You see that if Noah had negotiated with God, according to that story, because we know that there are a lot of interpretations. I believe that God, you could have said, God, what if you find one person? And that one person would have been Lot. And perhaps Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared. According to that story. I'm not talking about redemption or understanding that we have. Okay, so what am I saying? If it inspires how you can even advocate, it aids your intercession. You can stand before God on behalf of some other people because you know you have a right already. It's you that you are not. You don't understand when you are not even sure of your own forgiveness. How can you plead for other people's forgiveness? So how can you intercede for a whole nation? How can you intercede for a whole village when you know that yourself, you are doubting? You're doubting. All right. How can you? Hallelujah. Philippians 1:11 says that being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So what does the fruit of righteousness do? It makes us do what? To show forth the glory and praise of God. Remember we had read Isaiah chapter 43 earlier, that these people are formed for myself to do what? To show forth my praise. And we had read 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, that says that, but you are a royal priesthood, you are a peculiar people, you are a holy generation. He said what? He said to show forth the praise of him who have called you from what? From darkness into what? In his marvelous light. So therefore show forth the glory by what? By bearing fruits of righteousness. He said, now, no chastity for the present, seem it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. See him to be joyful, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded what? Peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So we exercise ourselves unto be any fruit according to righteousness. Hallelujah. So when we understand our righteousness, we become effective. We wage war against darkness with it. We preach it and we wrought good works with it and we bear fruits unto it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we understand our righteousness, what do? We become effective in life and ministry, wage war against darkness with it, and what? We preach it, we wrought good works with it, and we bear fruit unto righteousness. Hallelujah. I'm righteous. I am righteous. I am righteous. Forever righteous. Eternally righteous. Everlastingly righteous. Not because of what I have done or what I feel to do, but because of what Jesus did. By going to the cross and dying for the sins of the world, and our sins were totally remitted, and I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can take it away from me. I'm confident about it.
I don't stagger at it. I don't wrestle against it. I welcome that reality into my heart. And I'm at home with it. Nothing can take it away from me. I am the child of the King. I am righteous. I am righteous. And I understand my righteousness. I grow in the understanding. And I do expert with it. Hallelujah. Give thanks to the Lord this evening. Give thanks to the Lord. Glory to God. Father, we worship you. Amen. Any question? Any question? Any question? Any question? Have any question? All right. Just let me stand that first. All right. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Just say some words. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Pray in the Spirit. Confess who you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I am who I am. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. That is explicit. Amen. You know, sometimes we know, yes, you know some things about righteousness, but when it is preached to you in another dimension entirely, it's as if you just get to know them newly. Hallelujah. Amen. The basis is clear that it is only by what? Faith. And not just faith, but what? Faith alone. I like that emphasis. Amen. Amen. And when we've got it, what happened? It is eternal. It is not editable. Amen. It won't be reduced, neither will it go. It is a nature already that has been given to us. And we get to know that the gifts and callings of God are without what? Repentance. Hallelujah. So it's ours and it's ours forever. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tolu, for that wonderful message. Amen. So, okay, offering. The basket is back there.